Here with me today is Jennifer Pergesa, Global Product Manager of Honeywell Forge Workforce Competency, and Carlos Pazos, Product Marketing Manager with Honeywell. Folks, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having us today. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much for having us here, Peter.
So really the first question, folks, so let's talk a little bit about Industry 4.0, Industry 5.0, digital transformation. They're all buzzwords, but they're happening in our industry. And asset owner programs today have accelerated the use of technology across many industries. And really as a result, at least in terms of industrial manufacturing, you know, operations organizations are at the center of a lot of change. So they've had a lot of new things to deal with, and ultimately they require new skills. So from your point of view, with your experience dealing with workforce competency, how are companies augmenting their skills and competency in their workforce today? What do you think?
Yes, Peter, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. Like, this concept of accelerated digital transformation journeys truly has added a lot of complexity to operations from the technology point of view. Now, I think we need to consider that operators in process industries now have to deal with a more complex range of assets and processes. So their attention is now divided, as they have to operate different pieces of equipment across different processes. Now, this complexity definitely can lead to an increasing risk of non-optimal conditions and even accidents, right? Here's where technology also must be used in the context of augmenting the skills of the human factor. Oftentimes, we have seen that this is overseen, as digital transformation journeys tend to prioritize the optimization of the process itself and of course, involve assets. But here's where organizations need to remember that the human factor also has a big influence in the performance of the plant. So for leading companies we work with, we are seeing trends of increasing the technology spend dedicated to competency programs to avoid falling in critical scenarios that are generated by these potential human errors, but also to mitigate the impact of a specialized knowledge loss due to the retirements and attrition that they're experiencing. Now, one of the trends we're observing is the increasing use of simulation approaches to better prepare operators. This allows them to practice, for instance, routine and non-routine scenarios like startup procedures or corner scenarios in a very safe environment. Now, these simulation experiences are powered by high-fidelity models that are a true reflection of the process and the situations operators will be facing on a daily basis, and are used with exact duplicates of the stations they use in the control room, the same type of screens they're going to be seeing, even the same type of keyboards. Now, this is also paired with options to directly connect, for instance, to DCS systems to include real-time data, and also include a very attractive functionality with augmented reality and virtual reality to improve the experiences and how immersive these training programs truly become. Now, these last points of using this combination of technologies truly open the possibility of true team collaboration, because this ecosystem of technologies is not just aimed at the control room operator, but also allows the participation of field operators through these virtual environments. And it is in these virtual environments where teams can truly learn and practice the scenarios together.
Okay, so, you know, and you brought up a couple of good points, Carlos. You know, let's talk a little bit about attrition from the perspective of knowledge capture. You know, certainly, you know, we see that as well happening in an industry. And let's face it, control room operators go back to the field as field operators go to the control room, operators move from plant to plant and site to site. So how does all this information and competency transfer across these multiple work processes today? And do you think this is happening? And so, if so, how is this being done?
So, yeah, Peter, I think the challenge here is mostly in that knowledge capture piece that you mentioned. Since, you know, without formal tools or methodologies to translate that knowledge into some kind of a consumable digital format that could be used for educational or learning purposes, you know, then of course it cannot be propagated to others. And once it is captured, then, you know, the digital solutions can easily propagate that knowledge.
Right.
However, in the context of operations, you know, training, then, you know, there's still this need for a defined competency program behind any of this this digital solutions or tools or work processes. So I think the way that, you know, the way we're looking at it more and more today is stitching together ecosystems of these solutions to deliver value and full potential that each solution might provide in isolation. We just need to be mindful that, you know, it's not just about the technology, but having an overarching program that manages that knowledge and then also goes on to track the progress and the competencies of the learners against that overarching program.
All right. Carlos, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to expand a little bit on the points that Jennifer just has provided, we also need to highlight that comprehensive training programs, they need to evolve and be tailored to newer generations of operators. Now, these generations want to interact with digital technologies. And in this way, such technologies must be an integral part of these training programs. Hyper-realistic simulation-based training, as we talked before, is just one part of the equation, because learning does not end at the training room. It must be taken to the field, expanded to the field to cover day-to-day activities. Here is where this integration of other parts of the ecosystem is important, because now we can bring mobility technologies that also play a role to keep that link between the control room and the field through collaborative environments. So imagine during the execution of procedures or typical tasks such as inspections, audits, or maybe a maintenance task, the field personnel can use these mobility solutions to easily contact experts back at the control room or truly any location to receive instant assistance in the field, similar to the video conferences we use every day, but also get access to critical process and asset data based on the context of the task. So this is another dimension of providing instant access to the knowledge of experts. And with these approaches, field operators learn on the go. They develop competencies on the go because they are receiving direct feedback from experts, effectively disseminating their knowledge, providing access to information, and absolutely increasing the retention of best practices.
Interesting. Yeah. So it sounds like learning is no longer fit for classrooms. Learning is happening as operators are doing their jobs. So, okay, brings me to another point. You know, let's talk a little bit about where we are today. So asset owners are still dealing with implications of the global pandemic. And we hear a lot about from our customers that there's a distinct change in the workforce. Not just engineers or supply chain professionals, but what's happening with operations and maintenance. So asset owners are still dealing with this. And we hear often that cloud computing is considered by many leaders as a technology accelerator to help scale up or programs. So from your perspective, has the cloud changed the learning environment in any way?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. That's accurate. I think it just cloud computing in general, you know, other than the concepts that you know you mentioned, have been accelerated because of the global pandemic. But you know, the obvious benefits that were there before are still there: training anywhere, anytime access, allowing for high availability of resources, economies of scale. for the operator owners and access, you know, to the most up-to-date features and software if you're opting for a SaaS, a vendor solution. We have definitely observed that remote training strategy and cloud architecture requests have just exploded in the last year. And whereas industrial customers might have been hesitant in the past to move to cloud, the mood is definitely shifted, and customers are asking for all flavors of true cloud hosting, including vendor hosted, company and in-country cloud variants. So while this definitely presents many technical challenges to implement a safe, reliable, and great user experience, like cybersecurity, single sign-on strategies, optimizing hosting costs, and cloud privacy concerns, it has created a lot of exciting opportunities for more cohesive and expansive competency solutions. And so all of the tools and learning methods that we might have used before, such as e-learning or the simulation-based training, knowledge capture and assessment tools, you know, we can now think about accessing those through one environment linked to each other and even other systems beyond. And the benefit of also, as you mentioned, scaling. So to address specifically, how does it change the learning environment? Some more specifics on that. I can just tell you that this is like a very exciting time to be in product management in right. this area, because we're taking proven technologies that have more than earned their keep as on-premise solutions and lifting those technologies to these high availability environments that open up a whole new paradigm of integration and related benefits. One example of that would be more possibilities for contextual learning. So if there's an event or teachable moment identified in one tool, that could kick off a link to additional resources, an assessment, or initiate an identified learning module to be added to a learner's curriculum. And as I touched on, some of the ecosystem possibilities, connecting to learning management systems, content management systems. And then finally, I would say the data, the access to data. So the training tools actually, of course, generate a lot of data that could be used in multiple analytics activities. So you could figure out how to pinpoint or tailor training needs, or you could even possibly use the system usage or uptime data in a consumable format to leadership to justify continued spend on maintaining of a training system.
Okay, so here's another important factor. I think companies are always at different phases or states of their journey to develop workforce competency, but they've also got a lot of investment in operator training solutions or current simulation or in simulation models. So there's a lot of IP that's already established. Plus an investment. So do companies have to start from scratch, or can they leverage the past investment that they have in models?
Yeah, that's a great point and an excellent question. So I think it definitely depends. And people always tease me that my answer to everything is it depends. But I would say for many of our customers, you know, the concept of a multi-purpose dynamic simulator is a strategy that they maybe have implemented already in their life cycle. But the key to leveraging an existing investment is really use of engineering quality software throughout that entire life cycle. And that does have an impact on the ability to leverage. So if you use a training simulator product that leverages an engineering quality simulation engine, then it's a lot easier to sweat that asset and use that asset for digital twin. There's usages of digital twin for both steady state and dynamic versions of models, and that also extends the traditional life cycle story to use those digital twins for other things like event detection and plan optimization.
Right.
In the context of the immersive or field simulator space, you definitely can use those models as well. And the 3D models that you use in the engineering phase can absolutely be leveraged by adding textures and rendering. And in some cases, sorry, I need to scratch that. I guess in at least Honeywell case, the unit operation modules can be added onto those 3D models and leverage those models for an immersive simulation package.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so we touched upon this a little bit already, just-in-time learning and changing the learning experience for operations. So some companies are actively pursuing more personalized training, or they're thinking about how to empower workers so they take greater control over their work experiences. And really, it's a shift towards a more adaptive on-demand experience. And what companies are looking for is helping with confidence, especially with workers entering the workforce, helping operations to become more proactive in what they do and finding errors with the process or that could lead to process upsets and other issues that happen from day to day. And also helping the workforce to become a little bit more autonomous to help the operational performance. So do you see the Honeywell workforce competency solutions helping to meet this demand?
Yes, definitely. I would say that, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there about what you're asking, but I would say on the message that we've been delivering, you know, for a while now with our competency offerings is that targeted training, is the key to real competency development, and that the best way to deliver a targeted training is by specific training interventions and analysis, you know, by AI or other means of past incidents or plant operations can provide insight into what scenarios an individual or a cohort might need to focus on, and that training intervention can specifically guide them back to a more optimal outcome. And I'm glad you mentioned confident worker confidence, because that's a very important point and a key outcome of experiential learning. And this concept that that Carlos touched on at the top, that the concept of the irony of automation being that the more automation you have, the less chance you have for hands-on experience, means that operations workers have a tougher time than ever being ready to react to those abnormal situations. Experiential learning offerings such as Honeywell Forge Workforce Competency, either with or without a complementary immersive field simulator, give workers that platform to explore and develop some muscle memory in a safe environment and develop that confidence. And that experiential platform allows them to naturally explore, and they're compelled to try their scenarios, and then as you mentioned, they're going to create their own adaptive experience based on things. Well, I would always wanted to know what would happen if I did this or if I did that.
So we're coming to the close of the podcast. Do you have any last thoughts for the audience today and something that we didn't cover? How about you, Carlos?
Yeah, I just would like to expand a little bit on the last point and the importance of having this targeted training. We believe that this truly makes a difference in terms of increasing the worker confidence and the quality of the results. And Jennifer was talking about these immersive field simulators, and I just want to expand a little bit in terms of the level of customization that can be achieved and the importance of having this, right? So like these kind of environments are actually built based on existing CAD models of the plant. And then they are enhanced through the addition of textures, additional modular components to produce truly photorealistic representations of the actual plant, including every single component that the operators will face out there. So it feels really natural in terms of being able to walk these virtual environments, and truly enhances the training experiences, because As Jennifer was mentioning, like, what happens if I go and activate this control or move this valve or take XYZ actions? They can interact in that safe environment with all the planned elements. The same way they would potentially do during a normal procedure in real life. And they are used truly to provide absolute familiarization with plant layouts and practice, for instance, things like line tracing and location of equipment. Now, the beauty of customizing this is not just to have a super realistic environment, but to start connecting pieces like with the rest of the technology elements that we have. We talk about like the importance of the ecosystems and how platforms like Honeywell Forge can do that. So what happens if now you connect these high fidelity simulators to these virtual environments to allow what I was mentioning at the beginning, this practice of scenarios in Teams. And being able to for the operators at the control room and field operators to practice together things such as startups, shutdowns, malfunctions, or even, of course, the normal plant operations. And they also can be connected with the DCS system to visualize inside of this virtual environment real-time plant data. So this level of customization is great for operators to learn in a collaborative environment. And as Jennifer was mentioning, ultimately develop those reflexes that they were gonna need to be able to react to specific situations within the plant. So this is gonna make learning more engaging, more challenging, but ultimately it's gonna increase that collaboration with them and their efficiency, so.
Well, Jennifer and Carlos, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us. It was definitely my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us, Peter.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to Jennifer Pergessa, Global Product Manager with Honeywell Forge Workforce Competency, and Carlos Pazos, Product Marketing Manager with Honeywell. For more information and insights on this topic or to learn best practices to accelerate digital transformation, please visit the ARC Advisory Group website at www.arcweb.com.